Jim, just watch out for my projector there.
Can I leave it here?
Yeah, just don't stand in front of it.
I won't.
So as we get started, Anita,
thank you very much, Jim. Good evening. My name is Anita Theo Harris, and I am the president of the Westwood Park Association. And as such, myself or my designee holds the position, the Westwood Park position on the CAC. So I just briefly wanted to first thank our representative, Kate Favetti, for her service. And Lisa will allow applause for that. I think that's great. And we appreciate it. And I wanted to introduce my designee, Michael Ahrens. And his biography will be posted tomorrow, so you will be able to read his qualifications. I feel we're very fortunate that he accepted the position. Briefly, Mr. Ahrens is a native San Franciscan, and he's lived in many parts of the city. And guess what? He's a graduate of Reardon High School. So what more could you ask for? So I ask you all to welcome Mr. Ahrens, and I'm sure that he will be wonderful to work with. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I just want to thank Reardon High School, my alma mater, for giving us these premises for me.
Great. So, welcome. We're glad to have you on board. And it is kind of funny because our meetings are generally ever
here.
So, just on roll call tonight. So, Michael.
Here. Present.
Howard.
Here.
Bridget.
Here.
Christina's ill. Rebecca needs running away. She should be here in 30 minutes. Robert?
Here.
John?
Here.
And Maria Picard has tendered her resignation due to changing her personal schedule. She appreciated serving very much, and so that'll be an open spot for that'll be tended to.
Pardon me, I missed that. Who attended his or her resignation?
Maria Picard.
Thank you.
Right, okay.
Thank you.
Was she an at large or
she was
a
white? She was an LMI.
LMI.
Got it.
Appointed by supervisor.
Got it.
So, is supervisor aware that he's going to be do the outreach?
So, the next step is for us to forward Maria's
resignation.
And then
he'll official. Great. Okay. Okay, so do we have the minutes from the last meeting? And let me open it up to public comment if anybody has any edits to the minutes.
Any comments from
no comments from public comment from the audience? Okay. Any edits?
I just want to say, obviously, for the record, I reviewed them and I cannot comment on them since I was not there.
Thank you. Okay, so can we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Howard. Second?
Second.
Second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No abstentions. Okay. All right, next. So tonight we're going to do a couple of things. We're at this very interesting inflection point that we're through phase one and now we're about to move into phase two. So we're going to be having the election of the leadership of the CAC, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the progress report that that I as the chair will be sending to the board as part of the mandate of what's written into the role of this CAC as we do an annual report. And then we're going to have a chance to actually engage in an interactive process to be able to talk about what worked in the first phase, what did you like about how we worked together, what would you change or do differently, and there's a handout that we're going to be, that everyone should have picked up when they came in. And what we'll do is we'll open it up first to public comment, and then we'll go to, and then we'll respond afterwards once we've heard from everybody. Because I think particularly given the fact that this is the beginning of a long process, that at key points you want to make sure that we do a good job about evaluating how we're working together, what we can do to do a better job, and ensure that we have a little process. So that's the purpose of that item. And then it closes the meeting, and then we'll have the general public comment, as we always have. And then to close the meeting, we're going to talk a little bit about City College and coordination with their master plan and how we're going to try to work more effectively, because there are two parallel tracks that are going to be built at the same time, and it's going to be really important that we have really good coordination. And the Glenview team has, they have a formal role where they're at these meetings, but in terms of community engagement, how we think about that.
Oh, sure.
And as we think about, pardon me for that, and as we think about community engagement, making sure that we don't all have to go to four different meetings, you know, having that, and we think about consolidation and coordination. So with that, I will move into our election of chair and vice chair. So I want to open it up to ask for those who would like to make the nomination.
It's been 16 meetings, often very contentious, and a lot of different stakeholders with a lot of different various viewpoints, and sometimes it gets a little warm in here. There's usually a lot more people, and one person who's always been able to keep it together has been Lisa, and I would like to re-nominate her for president or chair.
Second. Okay, so nomination by John, second by Bridget. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, and now we're going to nominate the vice chair. And I would like to nominate Robert. I think that Robert's role of knowing what's happening with Balboa Park Station and being able to have one leg in each camp has been really helpful. And I think his comments have been really helpful and thoughtful, kind of using what he knows through that filter to make sure that we're doing things as well. So I'd like to nominate Robert.
Second.
Bridget. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Great. Okay, thank you. All right, so now, the next item is the progress report to the Board of Supervisors. So, in your packet, you'll see, is this in the packet?
Yeah.
Oh. So there's a document that is, got a little skinny paragraph on the first page. So once a year, as I noted, we have to send a report to the supervisors to report on the progress of the gap. So if you take a look at, so the planning staff has prepared this document for my submission to the board supervisor. So it will come with a cover note from me with this report.
And
as well as with the parameters that we've developed. So what I'd like to do is to first open it up to public comment to have any feedback of any language that you'd like to have changed or recommendations based upon. It's kind of a historical report. It talks about how it was created, what the process has been done to date, as well as what the next steps are. And so that's kind of where we are. So if anyone's got any comments that they want to provide to us, we'd love to hear those first, and then we'll add whatever we need to add after we've heard from you. So does anybody have any comments?
Rita.
My name is Rita Evans, and I live in the Sunnyside neighborhood. One thing that I did note with this is that there's really no documenting or discussion of the fact that there was there were a number of things that neighbors and others asked for that it's not reflected in the revised principles and parameters. And in some cases, there really was no explanation for why those things were not changed in response to neighbors' requests. And I'm thinking about some of the parking issues and the matter of the size of the continuous open space. So I just wanted to note that. Thank you.
Pardon me, I apologize, I missed your name. What is your name again?
My name is Rita Evans.
Rita Evans, thank you.
Other comments? Any other comments? Okay.
My name is
set a team, and I wonder if there's a way to inform the people who are not internet connected when meetings are.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
She wants to know if there's a way to inform
my name is Heather T.
You walked away as you were finishing your last sentence. How we inform people about meetings who are not on the internet?
Correct.
Okay. Any other comments? Westwood Park? It's okay?
No. I'll make the comment.
You're going to make the comments? Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just want to make sure because this is your first meeting and this is a very participatory group. So.
No, I've talked to members of Westwood Park, and if you'd like me to.
So I just want to be able to say, so there are no more public comments. We're done. Okay. Right, now let's go.
Okay, first I apologize, I'm a new member, and so I tried my best in the last month and a half or month to update myself on everything. And I really thank the city for meeting with me on two occasions, and corresponding with me on a number of occasions, because I like to try to prepare myself for this as soon as a job. First, I want to thank Rita Evans for her comment, because I agree with it 100%. I did not know that this memo that we are receiving was meant to be the progress report to the Board of Supervisors. But if it is, I think we have to include in there a lot of discussion on parking, a lot of discussion on alternatives for City College. I met with the city and they told me that these things were being explored, that there are traffic studies being done. And the report to the supervisors, already Supervisor Yee, in public comment in the newspaper the other day, said that the CAC is composed of people that will entertain neighborhood comment. And you have received comment. You received at least a survey, almost unanimous survey of the Westwood Park area, in which we voiced our comments, and none of that is in this report. The Board of Supervisors should know about the extensive and complete survey done by Westwood Park. In addition to that, they should know about the substantial problems that have to be encountered. That's not saying there should not be a development. We acknowledge there will be a development, but it's got to overcome some real problems. And the two biggest problems that I discussed with the city when I met with them, the representatives, was parking and City College alternative parking. Also, I'm very concerned about ingress and egress, but we have been assured by the city that there will be no ingress and egress through Westwood Park at all. And that's extremely important to us. So those are my major comments on this, but also I think it is vague as to what the process will be going forward for the evaluation of RFPs and RFQs. And maybe that's something that I'll learn more about because I think that's later in the agenda. But I might want to include that in this report too. So those are my overall 30,000-foot comments on this. And while I wasn't a member of the board for the last year, I have familiarized myself with what went on, and I did attend one meeting. So that's my comment on the report.
So Howard, do you
want
to?
Maybe I can ask.
Why don't we pass the microphone down? Okay.
Maybe I can ask a general question. What is the? I know it goes to the Board of Supervisors, but what do they do with it? Do they vote on it? Do they just put it in their files?
Yeah. All right. It's for their information. Hopefully they and their aides read it in enough speed.
So I can't hear you. You need a microphone.
So the process in the CAC bylaws is that the chair forwards a progress report to Supervisor Yee, and he then distributes that to his colleagues. So it's a written report that they have the opportunity to read.
It's like a staff report.
Yeah.
I have a question about this. I'm assuming that we're turning this in like the principles and parameters, which would explain some of the many things that we've heard over the 16 meetings and have included in here regarding parking and whatnot. I mean, there's quite a few areas there. That's what I was wondering about. The only other thing that I would say about this is, I see on page 2 that it says that city staff attended meetings with other community groups, and that members of these groups regularly attended our CAC's monthly meetings. But I wouldn't say that most of these groups were here very much. I would say that definitely the neighborhoods have come out in force, and so they've really shown support for their position. But it would be good to give other positions too that will affect the younger people.
Let me respond to that. That's a good point.
The parameters, of course, will be set. But if you're a supervisor, you're very busy, and you don't read that long report on that issue. If this truly is to be what Supervisor Yee said it will be, and that is input from the neighborhoods, we would like some indications, as I set forth earlier. Now, I'm not talking about a long document. I'm not talking about a lot of words, because this is a short document, and that's good. The board supervisors should have a short document. But we would be willing, I would be willing, I don't think we should have a rush of judgment to look at this document that I only received 2 or 3 days ago. I didn't even know that this document was being given to the Board of Supervisors, unless you read the gray line. It says, it's not connected.
Where it's set out is in the original, in the policy that created the cap. It's in the original language, and that document says, and on an annual basis. So I'm sorry if it wasn't clear on the agenda.
Yeah, but my point is quite simple. And that is, I got this on Thursday. I wasn't able to read it until over the weekend. And I didn't know that this was a document that was going to be commented on today as going to the Board of Supervisors. I saw an agenda item that said annual progress report. I didn't connect the two because I didn't see where they were connected. At any rate, all we asked for is a day, and I'll have some proposed language to you that will be very short, very brief, and will include what I think is only fair to give some notion to the Board of Supervisors as to comments made by the neighborhoods.
I don't think you're going to find an issue with that.
Okay.
What we're hearing right now is we're asking for feedback. This is a draft. Maybe we should have
done thought we were going to try to approve this tonight.
So
talking about words.
So
and that's my point.
So I think maybe what we should have said is this is a draft.
Okay.
And so if there are things that are missing, we want to make sure to include them. I think two things. One is I think being able to articulate the areas that were the most challenging. I think everyone needs to know what those are. And I also think building on something that Rita said, I think we should probably also include some background around the number of surveys and information that was galvanized through the individual communities to be a part of that process, to so the supervisors understand that...
We're in full agreement.
Okay. Bridget.
Well, then I have a question, because when I was reviewing the document, it looked like it was fairly pro forma in that we were basically being constituted as a committee once again going forward, that the Board of Supervisors would do that, and that it wouldn't be going into too much greater detail besides describing the committee and what it does. Are we getting into the principles and parameters here? Because, you know, in that case, that's a much bigger issue. If we're going to get into parking again, if we're going to get into transportation again, we're going to get into all the other...
I think the intention is not to, because the principles will be included, because this is where we landed at the end, and this is what's in the RFP, that's done. And I think it's fair to be able to say that if we want to be transparent, right, if we really want to do our job well, we want to be able to say, and these are the areas, you know, the 0.5 versus the one parking spot, and how we landed on what we landed on was because of this. I mean, I'm willing to go down that route to include the issues that are the most contentious, or contentious if I don't want to use that, but the one that had the greatest energy around it with different opinions. And so
transportation
is one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're completely related to transportation.
So what I'd like to do now is that because we're going to need to do this by, we'll do part of this by edits, and then we need to come back and be able to take another review of it. So far I have the parking, which is a 0.5 to 0 to 0.5 to 1.0. Mm-hmm. The contiguous open space, transportation,
And I would like to mention that we would like to use the affordable housing for faculty.
And I included others in my statement.
I also included the survey from Westwood Park, at least. I also included the problem, the severe problem of City College with respect to solving the parking problem. I think we should also...
So Mike, is the City College parking problem... So I had parking and having two parks.
There's two different problems with parking.
I understand. I'm just asking you, do you want to have them listed as parking as the issue with two types of parking challenges, or do you want them to be two separate? I think
they should be two separate because we have two distinct problems that have to be solved. And I've met with representatives over on the left in the city who are saying they're trying to solve that problem, and they will attempt to solve that in the RFQ and RFP process. So we should at least, I think, alert the Board of Supervisors that we have to solve the parking at the site problem as well as the alternative parking for the three parking problems, the alternative parking for City College and parking in the neighborhood. As was mentioned on Sunnyside in Westwood Park, will it cause problems? So those are the problems that I think should be highlighted because those are the problems that were brought up. Now, if you have the comments, as I said, this commission went a long way to address a lot of Westwood Park's problems, and we appreciate that. And so we just want to make sure that as we go through the process that they're addressed. Now, lastly, I mentioned, I don't know what comment I would have on this document until we finish the meeting tonight, because this meeting tonight is going to also has on the agenda further work of the of this commission and what is it going to do, how often is it going to meet, what participation will it take in the RFQ and RFP process. And once I hear what we all decide on that, I might have further comments for this memo.
Lisa, can I jump in for a minute?
Sure.
I just want to remind everyone that the parameters document that the CAC approved last time has a detailed memo from the chair attached to it that describes all of the issues that have been brought up. So that would be the next piece of paper after this staff memo. So I think we should take a look at that side by side with the minutes from this meeting, and then if there are things that are not covered in Lisa's memo that's already attached to the parameters, we can either staff can revise their staff memo to include those, or since the chair is going to write a cover letter, the chair's cover letter could also include those. But I think we'll find that most of them actually are already written up in an approved document.
I disagree. I read that letter this evening before coming here, and it does not address these issues.
Hi, Robert Mulbar here. When I'm looking over this document, it looks like a decent historical record of what we've been doing for the last year, but kind of collapsing all these comments and hearing up here, it's kind of missing some meat in terms of kind of an analysis of the issues. If I was on the Board of Supervisors, I'd be looking to this committee to say something other than, we met and we got this process and here's how the commission's created it. Really, what happened? So I think it's weak in that respect, and I think this discussion is the start of a section that should be in there, called the analysis of issues, for lack of a better word. Another area that I think, there's an elephant in the room around this whole process, and that's the relative disconnect with the City College Master Plan. And I feel like we're going in two different directions here. And I also think that the Board of Supervisors needs to have a sense of how this is kind of disconnected. We have two timelines, two processes. How are you going to meet? I mean, the borders meet. And then finally, less so, but we also have another committee. We have the Balboa Park Station Citizens Advisory Committee. It's formed to look at the same plan. And how do these two committees, the work that they are doing, relate to each other? I think it would have been useful at some point for these development parameters to be brought before that other committee with some comment from that committee to be embodied in this report. And also, going back to the City College, maybe that should be another Peaceful City College's response to the work that we have done. So we have a start here, and I think it needs some fleshing out. And, you know, if it means another meeting with this group here, or joint meeting with the City College trustees, or joint meeting with the Balboa Park Station, I think it's an opportunity to hammer this out and put some real meaning to this so that the Board of Supervisors can be looking to their advisory committee and saying, oh, that's what they've been doing. These are the issues that have come up. They can accept it or they can reject it. But that is what I've always viewed as the work of this committee.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Okay. So let's do this then. Let us, let's go back now and take a look at this. I, as a section, what I'm almost envisioning is it could be a table. That could be the, you know, the topic, and then it would be the various viewpoints that were presented, and then where we landed on the parameter, so that it footnotes or ties to the final principle, so that we can see what the issues were that were discussed. Let me ask one question to the planning team. We're doing an annual report. So if it's a little, we've had 60 meetings. It's a little over a year. Does it matter to them?
No, I think that they are probably interested to see it sooner rather than later, but we're not getting people asking for it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Well, you have two microphones.
Oh.
Robert, is it Robert?
Yes.
Robert, I do agree that I, for one, would be willing to meet in a couple of weeks or even a week, whatever, not that schedule, to hash this out and get to the time to the Board of Supervisors. We all are emailing, redlining each other.
No, we can't.
We can't. Is there some act in the state of California that talks about not meeting outside?
Yeah,
okay. I've heard of that.
it makes for less an efficient process.
Okay. So,
at least we all would be prepared to address our suggestions at the next meeting, whatever it is.
So I think what we could do is that if you have specific, I'm just wondering if we could do it by specific comments coming back. Can we do that?
So previously sending them one way.
Yeah.
I believe so. So I believe that you can't be in conversation with
each other. But the conversation could go one way. So what we could do is we could get a copy of this document in Word. People could provide their edits to the document. We could consolidate the edits.
What? So it's still, I mean, if the whole CAC is participating in a conversation, it should be a public
conversation. Right, no, I'm trying to jumpstart for the next meeting. What I'm thinking is, if each of us has a copy of it in Word, we track changes individually. Those documents are each individually sent back to you and created into one document.
I have a point of order, please. I have a point of order.
You guys
do a subcommittee? Okay.
In that little part in the beginning, that one person at a time? It's too much.
Yeah, okay. So, because what I think we want to do is we want to make sure that we are, my thing is just trying to figure out, instead of coming back to the next meeting where we will redline it, that if we could have a next version of the draft. And maybe what we do is we do a subcommittee to do that.
Whatever is legal is fine with me. Right. As long as we get our comments in.
Yeah.
Here's my point of order. Anita Theo Harris, Berkeley Park Association. I served as president of the Planning Commission. That was not an advisory body. That was a decision-making body. And I was told by the city attorney I have to go to an ethics meeting every year. And I was permitted to talk with other members of the Planning Commission as long as it wasn't a quorum. There were seven of us, I could talk to three, and we couldn't have three out of meetings. So my point of order is I'm hearing that no one's allowed to talk to one another, and I'd like to know on what law that is.
Anita, what we were trying to figure out is, would there be a way for us to be able to communicate back preliminary feedback into one document, but it's a one-way communication that could then be collected so that then maybe a subgroup of people, which would be okay because it would be less of a quorum, could take a look at the comments and then create the next round draft so when we come back together, we could get a lot closer to get it finalized.
Is that right, Kate?
But so the public understands, am I correct that these people can talk to one another if they choose to do so?
If it's four people in conversation.
Yes, if it's not a forum. Thank you.
Yeah.
She knows a lot about Brown Act.
And as a sitting commissioner and individuals who train people on the Brown Act, I just want to caution all commissioners, are not, excuse me, these are committee members, that although you do not have a quorum, it's very important not to create an inadvertently an odd seriatim meeting. And so that is an odd seriatim meeting. So in other words, two people talk to another person, to another person, to another person, and that does happen. And it's very easy to happen. The advice that I have received over and over again from the city attorney's office is to provide extreme caution in doing this. You do not want any of your hard work undone.
So just to ask a question. A lawyer, are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not.
Here's a lawyer asking a non-lawyer a legal question. But I just have a question. If like three people were appointed as a subcommittee to come up with their best idea, and they only talk to each other, then you go back to the full.
If the committee, and I'm sure that the city may have some other comments, but if the committee is appointed by the body, the full body, there may be some Brown Act provisions that apply to that subcommittee.
No.
Okay, so a little call. So fortunately, there are many changes that have occurred since the 90s.
Okay, Kate.
And that includes the Sunshine Ordinance and the Brown Act. So I just want to caution that you need to make sure that everything that you do is transparent so that everybody knows what you are doing.
So I think, okay, hold on.
This is getting ridiculous. I have a suggestion.
Michael, you got to be called on, okay? So hold on 1 second, okay? So I think what we take from Kate, and what we're hearing is we have to be careful that we don't, but if we're going to meet as a subcommittee, it needs to be a small group. And that we don't play a telephone chain of them connecting one to another.
And if you're a committee that is established by the full committee by vote, you may have Brown Act provisions that may apply.
Okay, so, and that if we're going to do a subcommittee that's going to work on this, that the role of the subcommittee is then not to turn around and do a telephone chain to everybody else. And I'm stating the obvious because I want to make sure we're very clear. So what I'd like to see is, let me first see if we've got agreement on what our next steps are going to be. And does anybody have anything that they need to say for that? You disagree with
it? Can I be recognized?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Let's check with the
I think the simplest way, we all have ideas of what should be into this, is get a word, like you said, and then give it to the chair, and then discuss it at the next meeting. So don't discuss it with anybody. Just, I will have my comments, I'll redline it to you. Everybody has their comments redlined to you, and then let's all meet, not even talk to each other.
Okay,
I'm not sure what the protocol is here, so I think maybe we need to go over it again. Are we raising hands? Are we just talking whenever we feel like talking? Or what's going on here? Because this does not seem very fair. We've had a pretty reasonably running meeting before, and I just think we need to go over the ground rules. Are we raising hands now?
Yeah, we should be, yeah. And the problem with the microphone is usually what happens is we usually are holding the mic and we're passing it to one another when somebody else is going to go speak. So thank you for the reminder. Yeah.
I apologize. I didn't know that was the rule, but I don't remember.
Yeah, and so if we, and you know, maybe what we should do is, and I would have thought that, so if just to remind everybody on the last page of the agenda, which is page 204, we've got our ground rules of how we are working with one another. And the clapping comment, just because that was a cute comment in the beginning, Anita, was that the clapping isn't about, the clapping was to ensure that everyone has equal voice. So if someone says something you really like and you clap for that person, it could be intimidating if you had an opinion that did get clapped for. It was all about trying to create equity and being able to be able to participate. So I think, thank you for that clarification. And Mike, probably you and I should have had a conversation before this meeting as well. So my apologies to you for that. Okay, so Robert, you got something you want to add?
Yeah.
Please.
I like the notion of all the committee members putting in their comments to the chair. And maybe, I don't want to put too much on your plate, but perhaps you could sort it out. And since it is the chair's report, or the committee's report, you're the chair, maybe you could make it work with staff to come up with a redraft along the lines that I was suggesting earlier. But I still think that even when we have that draft that comes from the chair, instead of staff, by the way, we have kind of a facilitated discussion. I mean, we've met for a year, and I would like to get one more chance to get all the public comments along some structured, facilitated discussion and come out with the document from there. So, I know it's more work, but I think it's more honest work, to be honest, to be truthful in terms of how we make the work that we've done more useful in the long run.
So, if you were to have a week to get your comments back to me in a week's time, and then I have a couple of days, Thanksgiving's coming up, and if I have a couple of days to then take everybody's comments, put them in, do a track changes thing so everyone's comments can show up, and then do a version of it that's built upon your feedback, and then we can post that, right? We can post that so that people could provide comment before the next meeting, and then we could take the public comment combined with the next version of the document and then use that for the fodder for our next meetings conversation. Would that, as a process, is that seem okay? That's all right. Yeah.
Or maybe the chair and the vice chair sit down together with one of our staff members at their office to kind of put all the materials together.
So my intention, my intention is to make it be as transparent as possible. Yeah.
My only comment is that sounds great, but I would like to see your comments and your comments. I would like to see the unedited comments of everybody in the commission. So we can at least, and you mentioned it, you said you would see the comments.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would go in and manually, the only way to change the color, right, so everyone would have their own color and track changes. This is a small detail, but so everybody understands it. So within the Word document, each of us would have a different color, so you could see, Bridget, I could see you having reddish your color, and then every event having a color that says, oh, this is her comments, this is his comments, so we can see it. Yeah, Bridget.
I just wanted to make one more comment about the Brown Act. I was a big devotee of the Brown Act before I was elected to the Board of Trustees. It is very difficult to follow, but we must follow the Brown Act. It's very important that we do that we don't engage with more than three people. That would include the person talking as well as two other people. So it's not something that we can really just gloss over because it's a problem right now. We really need to stick to the Brown Act.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to lay out what I think are the next steps, what I believe to be the next steps. Everyone will take a copy of the document in Word, which I believe we need to provide the Word version. The Word version will be provided to all of us because the Word version online is a PDF. You'll have 1 week to provide your comments back to me. I will then consolidate everyone's comment by section. With a master code so people will know who made to attribute your comment to your color. And then we will provide that, and then Robert and I will work with creating the next version. We will then put that online so that everyone, public comment, can weigh in. And then we will come to the next meeting with the revised version and the public comment, the additional public comment, to see any other additional changes that may need to be made. How does that sound, everybody? Okay.
So I'd like to run it by the city attorney to make sure that all the Brown considerations are, definitely met.
Asterisk if this process is okay with the Brown Act. And if not, we will come back with an email that explains what we can do. And we'll also post that on the website if we have to have a revised process that meets the Brown Act requirements. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So can we move to the next item? Yes. Okay. So the next item is, and Robert, it's interesting, your feedback about kind of the sausage making, right? That, this next item is our intention is to be able to actually talk about what what happened in the space. And so what I want to do first is we're going to hear from everybody. Everyone's going to get a chance to actually do this as an exercise. And that is that there's a handout that's got a plus delta on it, what worked well, what would you change or do differently. It's a, it's a double-sided single piece of paper. And what we want to do is we want to hear feedback from everybody. And the feedback is to let us know, what do you think, as we reflect on the past meetings as we can, what, and as we begin to plan for the next stages, what has worked well, and what would you change or do differently next time? So, for example, our Westgate Park neighbor who shared her feedback about it would, how to do a better job of communicating with people who are not on the internet, right? That's something that we need to be thinking about for the next phase. And instead of just saying we need to do a better job, if on the change side you could say whatever it was that didn't work, but you've got a recommendation on how to make it better, it's just a lot easier to act upon if it's actually coming in the form of, you know, we need to make sure we do a mailing, or do we have a, you know, it could be we use the neighborhood associations to find out who's interested in this topic but doesn't have internet, so that we have a mailing list, so we mail to those people on a regular basis. That would be an example of something on the what would you change side. So what we're going to do for this is we're going to give everybody a chance to, we're actually going to,
I have more people
to get one, great. So what you're going to do is you're going to get a chance to actually, we're going to stop talking and we're going to take a few minutes for you to be able to fill this out, and we're going to collect them as well, so please try to write legibly. And you're going to get a chance to actually talk to the people that are either next to you or talk to somebody who you haven't talked to be able to share with us what you think would work or not. So just to let you know, this is a little bit, this may feel a little weird to people. This is a very common practice in a lot of sectors. In the public sector, we don't do this as well as we could, and part of the intention here is to be really open to be able to make sure that as we move forward with the next phase, that we're building upon what works and what doesn't work. So with that, take a moment, and then we'll ask you to come forward and share one or two of your top ideas, okay? And we can be filling it out as well.
Can I ask you a question? I understand the issue. That's very self-explanatory. This other sheet, discussion questions, that comes later.
Thank you, Mike. On the back side of the sheet are specific areas that we would love to get your feedback on. Making sure we are engaging diverse stakeholders, how frequently should we meet, should we set up the meeting room differently. These are just ticklers to get you to think about what we should do differently. Okay? Or change or keep the same, because it worked.
Same question, but because the members here fill out, or we can discuss that.
So what's going to happen is we're going to first, everyone's filling it out, we're going to hear from the members, and we're going to have a conversation after we've heard from the members.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Rita Evans, and I have a comment about the... Hey, my name's Rita Evans. I have a comment about the information that was provided to the public in advance of the CAC meetings when we were to discuss the draft principles and parameters. Those documents were not made available to us until 1 week before those meetings. In some cases, it was even less than 7 days. That was an extremely short window, and I think it was a real disservice to the members of the public who are participating in the neighborhood association committees and trying to keep up with this information and with this process. It was a real scramble to try to schedule our meetings, be able to find out when our members would be able to get together to discuss those points and prepare our written comments. So in the future, if there's anything like that, I would hope that a more reasonable length of time would be provided to the public.
Would 2 weeks be better? What would you recommend?
I would think 2 weeks would certainly be an improvement.
Great.
I wanted to mention that from both sides of the fence, that the Q&As, the responses were very, very helpful in being able to not only synthesize what the questions were at the time from the community, but also what the city's response was, and it provided a significant resource. A couple of concerns that I had is, you know, being able to provide feedback on both the RFQ and the RFP and how the community structure is going to be organized. Whether or not that's going to be like we had done, I think, in 15, July 15, just, you know, I think a gathering of information, but probably not adequate in being able to organize what the responses were. The other thing that has always been a concern for me is that we do not have representatives from Avalon departments for the Mercy Housing, although I think that Howard Curry, in a sense, kind of represents that, the Ocean Avenue corridor. But those are two developments that are directly adjacent to the new development that's being proposed, and there are no representatives. And so far, I have not heard any community input from them at all. And so that would be something that I would think that would be something we should improve. And then I don't know if anybody would be interested, but maybe a short amount of sunshine, because we also have to consider the sunshine ordinance, because we are here in City County, San Francisco, which requires additional legal parameters around public meetings. That may be of interest, and it doesn't have to be more than 15 minutes. So those are my comments to date, and I'm sure I'll think of some more.
Francis LaFrada, Westwood Park, my comments I'm making on behalf of also myself and the Harrison Ann Chen, members of the Westwood Park Board. First off, the question, what worked well, that question does assume that we think things work well. Many people don't think this process worked well. That being said, in a very brief time, I've had to jot down a few thoughts. I think the CHG should have had less manual appointees.
Sorry, can you step up to the mic, please?
Yes.
Should have less what?
Should have had less mayor appointees. I think the question, the comment made by the previous speaker, Rita, in regards to having enough time to review the materials was one of my comments. Oftentimes, the materials are given so late, there's really not adequate time to review the materials. Also, many of the meetings were allowed to go over the allotted time rather than to be rescheduled, and it felt like they were very rushed, like you have to get through these things, even though they went over. We're forced to stay over time, and many people are coming already for a full day of work, and you know, it's already very cumbersome process for us to attend in the first place, let alone stay later. The other thing is the questions. A lot of the questions that have been raised often go unanswered. From the previous minutes of the meeting, there's been a question I had ongoing that's never been answered. I'm still waiting for an answer. That's not the first time that's happened to me. And also, I think that the impact of neighbors, I understand this is a public input, but the impact of neighborhoods, I think what would work better is going forward, they should have a louder voice in the process because we're impacted and we're ground zero. And so I think that although the whole public should be allowed to talk it, I think the people that are going to be living with these things should be have a lot of voice in the process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Laura Westwood Park. Can I get close to the mic?
Can you?
Yeah. Okay. I agree with a lot of stuff that other people have been saying. And I think it's really good that each person identifies what the appropriate desire when they come up. But also, I think if the person is here as a staff member of an organization, they should identify themselves as that, as a paid staff member. I think the city should have been, because they still aren't, being more transparent about the size of the project being proposed. I still can't believe that no one's not talking numbers at all, and everybody still continues to refuse to talk numbers or size. I think, too, in the parameters, there should be a little bit more detail about what is sort of possible and what may not be possible. But they kept throwing in student housing, even though Sioux City College is not being seriously considered as being sold or given the property. Legally, that's impossible. It can't be privately owned and we can make that student housing.
Okay, I'm Theodore from Excelsior, and have some nice things to say. I really like the even temper and tolerance exhibited by Chair, and way that she's been conducting the meetings. I also like the really appreciate very detailed minutes that have been pretty useful for reviewing what people have said in these meetings. And also, I appreciate the amplification, the scenography, the stenographer. to try and make these meetings more accessible. So, one thing that I would like to change is I would like the process to go faster. Like, we have thousands of people who are homeless in the city, we have tens of thousands of people who are underhoused, crammed together in various houses that are not designed for their current uses. So, we should build housing faster. We could start here. Also, what I'd like to see the TDM reports, a video of their reports or something, because from the consultants, because those were looked interesting, and I was not able to attend those meetings. And I thought from the PDFs that they were put online, they seemed like very good resources.
Jenny Perez from Plymouth Avenue. A couple of good notes. Thank you for documenting the information. It's been very helpful. Every time I come in, there's information written for me to continue the meetings. After 16 meetings, it's been a year. I also want to say we did seek research at the beginning in 2016. It's going to be 2017. We'd like to see more research on our neighborhoods to date. There are over 3,000 units that are either rental or are to buy, property to buy, that are available. And a lot of people aren't taking it up. So it's not that we don't have space in San Francisco, it's that the prices are too high. And thank you, city. I've actually called the city to inform myself as to what their model is to facilitate these units, and is to saturate the city land of San Francisco in order to bring those prices down. So more spaces means lowering those prices, which I find that's where the bubble happens. Anyway, we would need more research on our neighborhood and our needs and available rental lease properties are currently available and how many are being built is a huge problem, so we can have more research on that.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jennifer from Sunnyside. A lot of comments I've written have already been said. I'd just like to say once again that I like the early responses to our requests, in particular the ones that were handed out once or twice in response, and also the continual access to housing and planning right here in the meeting, so things could be responded to right here. That was really helpful. I am very concerned that the TDM, we do not even have a TDM report, and we've already gotten to a place where there's an RFQ. I think that this is the horse before the cart, or excuse me, the cart before the horse, and I do think that the timing on this is backward, because there are huge issues that affect so many people and institutions right in this area. The other major hold that I see is weird and was not included in a lot of these discussions. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Christopher Campbell. I'm from Westwood Park. I wanted to start off by thanking everyone on the committee. I think you've invested a tremendous amount of time, and I'm very appreciative. I haven't attended all of the meetings, but I think I've made at least 80% of them. And those of you that are paid as well, I definitely appreciate you coming out and investing your energy and time. I think it bodes well for both sides, for us and for the city. And what I feel has really worked well is the overall community meeting process and engaging the public. One of my comments, not unlike what was mentioned earlier, is that I feel like I too have had some questions that weren't answered. And I was wondering if there's a way that maybe in the future, the questions that have been asked by people, if there's a way to succinctly combine them into general categories and still capture the essence of them with the responses that have been created from the city. And in particular, as someone who uses mass transit, I really like the discussion, so this is my second thing, about concerns about public transit, traffic-related concerns, and parking. And I would think at this point there might be more feedback from the city and how those concerns would be met and how we might be moving forward on that. Thank you very much.
My name is Joe Coleman, and I'm with the Westwood Park Association. And in the past, the city seems to have done traffic surveys during the summer, and that doesn't really fit in this neighborhood because, first of all, you have Reardon, you have Lick Wilmerding, you have City College all in this one area. Doing a traffic survey in the summer is a disservice to what really goes on here. Every picture I have seen on the internet or at the very first meeting that was had here had an empty parking lot for City College. That's really not the case, and that's deceptive when you send something like that to the Board of Supervisors. So doing a traffic survey in the summer is really just misleading, and I think that should be brought out, especially with the issue of the parking. Thank you.
Sorry, I was not aware that you were here at the beginning. Just wanted to comment on a few things. I still have a point. This is Harry Bernstein, faculty and member at City College. I'm still wondering if there will be, I know the TDM is not talking about some people's, will there be a parking study that includes parking in the communities adjacent to the Westwood Park site? Or is there just the study trying to mitigate and reduce the demand for parking on the site? I think there needs to be more widespread, maybe it's been discussed, but it needs to happen. Two, there was a community-friendly preamble added to the principles and parameters. You were asked, I know, to consider approving both the preamble and the principles and parameters in separate votes. That was not done, and from what I understand, the preamble was ignored in the report that the city team has put together. So maybe the preamble can come back and be discussed. And what is the difference between that and what is in that that is not in the principles and parameters? Also, there's two news items. One was the in the Examiner today about the 50% low-cost housing, which is not really low-cost housing because that gets back to the numbers that somebody asked about. Only 18% or 15%, this is speculative, will be for really below $55,000. And Treasure Island housing came up on the weekend, and there's a lot fewer units are going to be built because the cost has escalated. I wonder what impact that has on your discussion of what low-cost housing will be at this summit.
Thanks. Chris Coghlan from the Sunnyside. I
I read that article that we were just speaking to, and we talked about the thing going on over at Treasure Island. And one of the things I'm concerned about is we get
this
thing.
Can you speak into the mic?
When we get this thing half done, pretty loud. I don't know how I can get closer, but I'd hate to see us get halfway done and then find out, well, it's not working. So I hope the money gets put in place. Anyway, I'm not happy with the communication that was from the get-go to the neighborhood. I never received in the mail, even though I'm just a few blocks away, about, I got no surveys, nothing. And I don't understand why. The other thing is that the Sunnyside requested open space as their number one desire. And from what I understand, somehow you guys agreed to 1.5, I haven't seen it in writing, but I've heard that you've agreed to 1.5 acres of contiguous open space, which is insanely small. You know, frankly, for me, I don't care if you put a 50-story building there. We need park space, you know. And I know Westwood Park wouldn't like that, but I'm not going to see it. So that's just where I'm, you know, I'm just saying, I'm a NIMBY on that, I have to admit. But the thing that bothers me is that all the way you have all the traffic coming out on the Feeling, and there are probably some out of the ocean, but the Sunnyside is going to bear the brunt of all the traffic that's going in and out.
Chris, I'll interrupt you. What is your recommendation of what we should change or do differently? Like, I appreciated your comment about that we should figure out in important times to make sure we're doing mailings,
right,
particularly to those that are nearby. What recommendations do you have?
Well, I think a survey of, like, it would have been nice to say, hey, do you want housing in the reservoir? That would have been a nice thing to have on the survey. But instead, from my understanding, is what kind of housing do you want? It's like, well, you know, not all of us want housing. We like having open land. We all don't, you know, I have a place to live, so, you know, I'm okay. You know, we can build along the BART corridor. There's plenty of places to build in the Bay Area near public transportation. The thing we don't have in San Francisco is open space. And so I am dead fast on trying to protect that. The other thing is the TDM. You know, we haven't gotten a TDM. And why we're meeting without that TDM, I think, is appalling. And the other thing is I guess I want to ask you specifically, Lisa, that since I'm the vice president, now speaking as the vice president of the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association, so now I'm speaking, is that please send me reports, as according to our bylaws, on what's going on with the committee you chair, okay? Because that's part of our bylaws in the SNA.
Happy to do it, and also happy to have you join our meetings, because we're meeting right now.
I know, but there's a lot of times I can't.
Okay.
But as vice president, I expect to get reports, so thank you so much.
I'm Alvin from two blocks away. I have so much to say, but I know I have limited time. I've written a lot of stuff, sent it out to the CAC. So in terms of having input, I've had input. The problem is how the city responds to the input. That's the problem. Okay, like to me, it's been an exercise in futility. You know, I've done a whole lot of research, including doing sunshine requests that Mike knows about, investigating into the ACOM reports, looking into the Balboa Park station plan, the area plan. I wrote a thing summarizing the flaws regarding the Balboa Park Reservoir project. Those issues that I brought up have not been answered, you know. So, you know, it's like what you answer is just within what you want to see. Basically, and Lisa, I don't know if you remember, the first Sunnyside SNA meeting I went to, I said, I think this is a done deal. And then you slapped me down because I was being disrespectful. But I hate to say, I think that perspective has been vindicated. It was a done deal. The whole thing has been preordained. And all the community gets to do is diddle around with minor items, tinkering, That's all it is. All we are allowed to do is tinkering. Okay, and let me, and I just sent you guys something out. I'll just read it quickly as a summary about the process. Fundamentally, the public and community participation was just token. The reality was that public engagement process was merely a way to manage and direct public input to conform with the city team's predetermined outcome. The public engagement process was in reality a process of manipulation toward the city team's desired outcome.
My name is Hedda Thieme from Westwood Park, and I gladly give my time to this gentleman that he can finish his paper, if possible.
No.
So you see, our meetings have stifled rules that we cannot express ourselves. And I can say, Dito, I have asked many questions and never got answers to that. That needs to change. We are here to inform each other, to interact with each other, and that does not exist. We speak on in statements that is being put on paper and filed into the wrong file. Something is not working out right.
Thank you. Hello, Monica Collins on the side, and I used to work at City College for a long time. So, I have something very strange to say. Nobody has said, but Mr. Coughlin put it in my head, so I want to just say, I do think open space is precious. This is a little tiny city, and it's defined by geography, like 7 by 7. Like Manhattan.
So, Monica, what is your feedback around what we should change about the process? This isn't about opening up the
process. Agreeing with Alvin. Thank you.
I didn't mean to shut you down. It's about.
And yet it happened.
Well, because the rule is for this part of the meeting, we're asking specifically for feedback around what we could change or do differently.
Okay.
And in doing that, the purpose of that is to ensure it's consistent for everybody so that everyone has an equal experience. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shut you down.
I forgot what I was doing.
Can we have a point of order?
We're always
allowed. Can I call for a point of order? Because, I mean, it just says public comment, okay? So it doesn't really, anything that's...
So, Chris, if you had been here, I don't know when you got here, but if you'll see under number 5, it says debrief of first phase of CAC process.
Yep.
And then after we went into that, I shared the handout and explained specifically...
I'm fine. I just made my point.
Sure, okay, good. And Monica, I'm sorry, I did not mean to shut you down. And if you think of it and you want to bring it back up in public comment, please come to the front of the line. Okay. So, any other comments from the community?
David Tejeda, I'm from the sunny side. As far as the meetings, I want to say thank you very much. It's been run well. The records are good kept. I would appreciate if we could always have the printout and have the microphones working. That really helps because we all need to hear it. And I will continue to come to these meetings because I'm coming for most of the people on my block who listen to me and I give them feedback from what's happening at the meetings, and I think it's running well. So, thank you.
Any last comment? Okay, so let me now turn to my colleagues. Thank you everyone for your feedback, for your very thoughtful feedback. And the intention is to use that feedback, and I'm gonna comment at the end. So let me just go to whoever would like to go first. Howard, do you want to?
Sure. I go in here. So, Howard Chung, I represent the Ocean Avenue Business Corridor. So a lot of the comments were great comments, and I don't want to repeat them. My one comment, we live in a diverse city, and a lot of people don't even speak English. And a lot of people work, can't make these meetings. A lot of Asian people live in the area. We don't get to see a lot of those people at our meetings. And, you know, it's a problem. They're busy, they're working, they've got families to take care of. So something that we need to think about and try to implement is how to get those people to participate in our process. I mean, I can go talk to Avalon and to Mercy and to Reardon, but you know, those people are represented well. They're usually represented well, and we don't have a problem. But how do you get the disenfranchised people into this process? So that's something I'm going to try to think about and work on. I've got some favorable comments, but a lot of them have been said, so I'll save those for later.
Thank you, Howard. This is Bridget Avila from City College. And I just wanted to say that I agree with you on that. There are people that have not been heard, and as someone who's pushing 60 now, I'll admit that to everybody, I think that the commentary has been heavily weighted on that side, and we haven't heard from younger people as much, and they're the ones that are most going to be impacted. We have two people, and I appreciate them coming to every meeting. I do. I thank you guys for coming up. I appreciate everybody coming to every meeting. It's been a long haul. It's been 16 meetings. But I do think that there does need to be more diversity among the people that will inherit this city, and that we need to do better to bring out the disenfranchised and young people regarding this. I'll abbreviate my comments about what we've been doing well. I think the board has had a great decorum and respect for each other, and you know, we've pretty much followed our process, and I think we've done that very well, and it's moved things along. I feel like we listen to each other, and I've heard things that I wasn't prepared to agree with, but when I hear the reasons why, I understand. So I want to make sure that we continue with the process. Maybe that's the lawyer in me that loves the process, and limit any mansplaining or just going on without raising our hands or whatever. Keep that to a minimum. So those are my main two comments.
Having not been on the board until today, I have no comments on what happened prior to today, but I just have one observation, and that is I'm absolutely amazed that we're proceeding as quick as this RFQ says we are proceeding, especially when some of the members of the residences locally says we don't have a TDM, we don't have a study on parking, and that is in process, I'm told, by the city, but I don't know why we're going forward so fast without having that before us. But it just all may be a waste of time. But I'll reserve the rest of my comments to the discussion and questions as we have.
Okay, Robert Wheelbar again. I'm going to take a little bit of time, if you don't mind. Okay, and some of this may have been repeated. First of all, on what has worked well, I want to commend the staff. I mean, they put a lot of work in there. There's been a lot of paper that's generated. And having served on other committees, that's not always the case. I mean, I serve in a committee where I don't even get a staff report. You know, it's just like, we come in, there's an agenda, now what? And there's a lot of pre-work that happens behind the curtain. Sure, it could be improved, but I think that what I have seen has been pretty good work. And I'm coming from, and I'm a person that has a 30-year history in public service. Secondly, these meetings are all about airing out the issues. And doggone it, if you have to hear it 50 times every meeting, that's really the benefit of these meetings. Because we take notes, we put check marks after every, at least I do, every time I hear the same comment again. And it has an impact on what I think in the long run. I mentioned the written staff reports. I think staff has to continue, and I like the quality of the work. Another thing that staff did, which I think was very clever, was done at the beginning. A constant chronic issue of public meetings is you have people that have been there from the beginning. Every meeting, they know the history, they know what's going on, and then you have other people that kind of come in mid-process, and they don't know what's going on, so you can end up duplicating stuff. The initiative to have a pre-meeting reviewing a little bit of the history, 15 minutes before the formal meeting starts, so people get, the new people get an inkling of what's taking place beforehand. I thought that was very well done. And a good move towards trying to mainstream everybody as we move through this process. These meetings have been well attended, so somebody out there is doing their homework and getting, be it Westwood Park, be it Sunnyside, be it OMI, be it the email blasts, having 1,500 people at these meetings, it shows that there's a lot of interest. On what would I change going forward? First thing I said tonight was I would have liked to have seen joint meetings with the Balboa Park Station Citizens Advisory Committee, joint meeting with the City College trustees, and somebody mentioned tonight, maybe the Reardon. I would like to have that, at least an attempt to do that going forward. Secondly, I've never really been entirely satisfied from what I've heard about the public purpose of the Public Utilities Commission selling this land for affordable housing that's only halfway affordable housing. Now, is that satisfying a public purpose? I know I've heard from staff. I'd almost like to hear a legal opinion from the city that says what they think of that, so that we can put this, at least in my mind, put that issue to rest once and for all. The work that we're doing hasn't even started yet, in my mind. We have a long list of wants in terms of what we'd like to see, but it's a very abstract notion of what that's going to look like when we actually have a proposal in front of us. I mean, we had no idea where the streets are going to be. We had no idea what the units are going to be. We have no idea what the heights are going to be. How do all these development parameters fit into a real deal that's being put before us? And I realize that you've got to, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I think we've had to have gone through what we've done just to get where we're at, so we can get to a point where we're looking at this in terms of an actual development proposal. So this, it's a tricky issue, but I feel every time I come away from these meetings thinking, what does this all mean? It's just kind of abstract. I agree that the TDM, it's again, a little bit of putting the cart before the horse. How's the TDM gonna mirror what the needs are of this development? How does City College's TDM gonna be harmonious with what we're trying to achieve? And this is important stuff. This is parking. This is traffic circulation. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road here in terms of this development. And it is opaque, to say the least. So going forward, I think everybody in this room, this committee, should be really keeping staff's feet to the flame to explain to us very clearly how this TDM is really going to mitigate some of these issues. Otherwise, and I've said it before, it's all smoke and mirrors. So, those are my thoughts, and I'll pass it on.
Yeah, so 16 meetings, we're all kind of patting ourselves on the back for having survived 16 meetings, but we really haven't started yet. As somebody in the audience mentioned, we haven't mentioned any numbers. That's because we don't know what the numbers are. We don't know how many apartments, how many family units, how many studios, how much student housing. If there's been any student housing, we haven't talked to City College about it yet. The TDM is one part of it. The TDM hasn't come out yet. It's coming out in December. But before we can even make any decisions, we need all of these parts to come together at one time. And so far, all we have, and it's been a big achievement, I'm not belittling it, but we're only just starting. All we have now are vague parameters that are telling us just basically what we'd like to see in general. We haven't figured out where the roads are going to go. We haven't figured out anything, really. That's what happens after the RFP. And that's when we'll need the TDM. That's when we'll need all this other planning. So all that's coming in the next year. Representation from other people. Everybody in here is about my age, with some small exceptions. I talk regularly to people who are interested in the subject and who need housing. Some live in the neighborhood. But people 35, 40 years old, don't really have time on a Monday afternoon, Monday evening to come to a meeting like this. And they need to be accommodated somehow because they are interested. You see them on Twitter, you see them here and there, but they don't show up at the meeting. And that's not to their credit, but I sympathize. Maybe we should experiment with a Saturday meeting. I don't know. Part of what we are charged in doing here is to be a clearinghouse for all the information, all the opinions, and it's been, I think we've done a pretty good job. I understand the people who have complained tonight that they haven't been heard, and if you look online, you'll find that there's matrices that the staff has put together actually answering questions. People stand at the microphone, they ask a question, nobody answers. And another person comes and asks a question, nobody answers. But if you look back a month later on the website, you'll see a matrix which has most of the answers. And if somebody gets slipped under the rug, I'm sorry, we need to work on that. What else? In regard to CCSF, there are multiple processes going on there. There's the Board of Trustees. There's this master plan that's going on in parallel with us. And there's almost no communication. I understand people from the facilities master plan are at the meetings. Is there anybody here right now from the facilities master plan?
I'm not.
She's not here. I think we need to have a regular report from somebody from that staff every meeting. We need to have a regular report from what's happening on the Board of Trustees, and we need to report back to them as well. I think there needs to be much more communication about what's going on. I've been going to some master plan meetings, and they don't know that we're talking about building a child care center, or they slip their mind. They don't know that that we have 0.5 to 1 parking. They don't know any of this stuff because they haven't really been looking, and we haven't really been broadcasting to them. So, and there's a lot that they're doing that we need to know about. What's going right? I guess the whole thing about us being a clearinghouse, we've been collecting all this information, but one thing we're not doing is spreading education. And I think one of the best meetings we've had a few months ago was a guest presentation by Jeff Tumlin, where he talked about the TDM. He captivated the audience. Everybody learned something. We all learned something. And I think we need to have more meetings like that, more guest speakers. We could have people talk about playground design. We could have somebody talk about bike share, car share. Somebody from Uni can come and talk to us about why the 43 is so crappy. So I think we need to have more of that kind of thing going on. Anything I'm missing? Yeah, I think that's it for now.
I think a lot of great comments have been said, and especially Howard and Rich and your comments, I think I really know to identify them with. And I was going to mention this, but Robert, since you brought it up, I am more familiar with the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission and the Citizens Advisory Committee there have had numerous conversations and discussion about the activities of this CAC. And the reason I think, you know, we also oftentimes seek answers from the staff of the SFPUC on the legality around how can we make this, you know, whether or not it's legally possible to have this be 100% affordable development, and the repeated answer we get is no, because the obligation to the ratepayers across San Francisco whose money that was used to finance the purchase of this property. So if you want to, you know, of course, everyone here is a ratepayer of SFPUC, so we're not talking about two separate bodies of taxpayers, ratepayers, really. I mean, there are some differences, but when you think about the financial responsibilities that's owed to everyone across San Francisco, whether it be Outer Sunset, Richmond, Excelsior, or Bayview, or wherever there is, where the infrastructure lies pervasively across San Francisco, that is, it's for those reasons that that obligation is sort of in
conflict with that desire to make this as affordable as possible. I think that's also, and so this has been a point of discussion repeatedly many times, and there are discussions and disagreements on the SSPUC CAC as well. And we have folks on that body who don't even think that, you know, we should even weigh in and contemplate that, you know, it should not even, housing shouldn't even be a discussion to those folks who think that it ought to be 100%. And the consensus there, after a pretty robust debate, was that, you know, we, the consensus there to just to support 50% to 100% range to the point that's achievable. And that's where the housing parameters eventually ended up being. So in that end, I think that it's not going to please everyone, but that is a place where I'm, at least on that regard, on this particular set of parameters, I am very comfortable with. So that's something I want to, since you brought it up. And I think if you or anyone else require additional legal clarification, that I would like to have that, I would, then I would send a request to the PUC staff to ask them for such response, because they have given it to us, and I, you know, I think that's just something that that shouldn't be a confusion on something that's legal. So.
So for listening to everybody speak, I think one of the most important things that we're going to need to do a better job at moving forward is around coordination, because this is very complex and it's not legal. And we're going to need to figure out a better way of calendaring and creating the overall process, which we're going to talk about in a minute, around the next steps to make sure that we give at least 2 weeks before anytime we want community input, so that there's enough turnaround. When we talk about the big events that are going to happen in the next phase, we've already begun to talk about how important it is to be able to go out 2 and 3 months in advance to let people know there's going to be an opportunity to provide feedback where that event's going to take place, so that we can really get the community to come out. And so I think what we I think we learned over time that we slowed things down, even though it may have seemed like it was rushed. We did slow down what I think people thought was going to be a six-month process. Before we were more lucky to this, was how long we thought it was going to take. So I think that pacing and timing and really looking at what the outlook is going to look like is going to be really important. The coordination, the TDM question, transportation, people have heard me say it over and over again, if we don't figure out the transportation piece of this, we're dead in the water before we even start, because it's the traffic, it's the parking, it's all the components. And so being able to figure that out with the developer, you know, what's really realistic. People have heard me say this before, and so I'm wondering if anyone's even going to bid on this based upon the parameters that we've put in place for it. And then the last thing that I'll say is that it's been, it hasn't been a perfect process. And I don't want to overcommit, but I'm concerned, and I want to make sure that we balance the voices of everybody, and we have a smaller group that's here tonight. But this notion that people feel that we haven't answered questions, John, you talked about that a little bit. You know, I'd like to take a look at the matrices and see, you know, and if there's somebody that has a question that they feel a specific question wasn't answered that really is preventing you from participating, to send the question to us again, and we'll answer it as best we can. Not a barrage of questions, but if there's something that you really feel like, Carrie, your point about, is it 50% going to be acceptable to the PUC for, you know, legally? We've got to be able to address those things, because otherwise it's not a transparent process. So those are my comments, and I agree completely with the representation of who comes to the meetings. You know, 6 o'clock at night, you don't have any families that can come, because especially if you have small kids. And so I think we're going to need to really think about a set of meetings and opportunities, and it may mean a heavier lift for PAC, because we may have to do multiple meetings on the same topic. I don't know how that would work exactly, but I think we're going to have to think about how we do a better job of building that network to make sure that we're connected and hearing from as many people as possible, and ensuring that we do a good job of those communities that are most going to be impacted by this, make sure that they have a voice that is, I really appreciate the comment about, please don't just tell me the neighborhood they're from, but if you're a staff person, because I think when we hear those comments, we hear that differently than if we hear it, that it says, you know, it's important, but I think that context is important. So with that, thank you everybody for your honest feedback. We greatly appreciate it. And as we move forward, I think we'll take all of this into account. Now, Mike, I'm going to turn to you because as a news member, you want to respond specifically to the questions. I don't necessarily think that anyone else is going to have questions for us, but why don't you maybe take a couple of minutes on that?
Yes. I've heard a lot of good comments from the public tonight, and I share a lot of the concerns of the public. I am resigned to the fact that I said earlier that I do not think we should be going forward at this stage because of the parking problem, because of the transportation problem, because of the fact that CCSF is apparently considering putting a performing arts center on their share of the parking lot out there. I just don't see how we can go forward if all of those things happen without a solution to the parking problem. That being said, the city has basically said what you said, Robert. And that is, we have to go forward, because if we don't go forward, we'll never get this thing done. And resigned, even though I disagree with going forward, we were in a minority in the vote. And going forward, though, I want to make sure that all these people and that the public has an input into the process of what's called the evaluation committee. I requested that Westwood Park, who has the biggest impact in my mind of anybody, be put on the evaluation committee, even as an ex officio member. Because I think that a lot of things can go wrong in the rush to judgment on the evaluation process. And that is the evaluation of the RFQ and the RFP. And basically, I was told this morning that we have a representative, and that is you, as the chair, and you're well qualified to be the chair. You're going to represent the voice of all of us. And I'd just like to understand how that can happen. If you're going to go forward and have a meeting in which you can't report back to us, how are we going to know when the RFQ process, let's start, that I learned from this big document I got offline just before coming here tonight, that RFQ responses are due by January 18, 2017. How can we, as Westwood Park, how can we as a commission here have input into the RFQ process or the RFP process? Because a lot of the things that we said and we objected to in the parameters basically were thrown off to the developer. You tell me what the parking is going to be. You tell me how many units. Tell me what is economically feasible and tell me how many units are low-cost housing. And so I think it is crucial that we have a say in the, that is we, the CAC, have a say in the evaluation committee. The evaluation committee is made up mostly of city representatives. You are the only voice we will have. So I'd like to know how we get input to you with this thing I've heard about that before. I just couldn't remember the name. But I just want to know how we go forward, because I do want to get input every step of the way. I thought the best resolution is for me, as a very important neighborhood, Plymouth Avenue is going to look at this building right behind it. That's my neighbors, okay? And so I want to know how I can get input. And I thought the best way, and if I'm there, and Sunnyside's there, you've got both neighborhoods there. The best way is to put me on the committee as a non-voting member, ex officio member, and I can give you my views. I can't vote. I just want to give you my views, everybody's views. I thought that's the best way to solve this problem. Check me out. You know me, Howard. I'm a deal maker. I want to do a deal here, but I want to get my neighborhood properly represented, and I think that's the best way. Put me on that committee. So far, the staff says no. And I'm sitting on the evaluation committee. I'll give you my views, and I'll try to see that everything proceeds forward. But if there, as you say, we said, there's no parking solution, none of us want to go forward. If there's no traffic solution, none of us want to go forward. But I've accepted the fact that we do have to proceed, otherwise this won't get done. If there's a solution, fine. That's my comments and discussion points. And how often do we meet? As many times as you want. We've already solved the question as an input earlier today, and I think we can continue to do that.
Thank you. So I think what I'd like to do, Mike, is I'd like to actually have Emily talk about the next steps in the process and come back to this conversation after we've seen the next steps, because I think the next phase has got different forms of community participation that I'd like to come back to this after. I want to respond to you after we do these next pieces.
And I did say, Martin, and I mean, everybody sitting at the table has been very helpful to educate me
for sure,
yesterday.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Very
and it's a lot. It was a lot. Yeah. Okay. So, Emily,
So I was planning just to run through kind of the milestones in our RFP process and how those could overlay the CAC process.
And Emily, can you please do your very best to use regular everyday language to make sure, because this is the alphabet soup time.
Okay. So we, the city, issued the request for proposals last week. That's the first of the kind of competitive steps in the developer selection process to bring on a developer partner, a development team to realize this project.
And Emily, before we start, I want to just share one thing. Generally, we would have had a PowerPoint that would be up here, but we only have one screen, so we're using it for the transcription. So we're going to make the calendar of the next steps available online for everybody to have access to. But generally, we would have had a slide for this, and so that's the reason why we don't have it. The first thing is the RFQs first.
Correct. Yeah. So that has been issued. A link to it was sent out to the whole CAC participant email list last week. It consists of the RFQ document to developers kind of explaining what they should, providing background information, explaining what they should submit, and outlining the process and the criteria for evaluating the request for qualifications, responses that come in. And if you do look at the criteria, it's really focused on finding a short list of prospective development teams that have the experience, both kind of building projects of this scale and building projects in San Francisco and the San Francisco neighborhoods with sensitivity, and also have the financial capacity to actually bring the resources to bear to get this done. So that's kind of the bulk of what's going to be evaluated by the evaluation panel. And then the third piece of that is a very high-level vision for what the site could be, and that's where we really test whether developers understand and are respecting the development parameters, which are an attachment to the RFQ. So now that we are in this competitive process, we need to be really systematic and really fair about the communication that happens. So we, as questions come in from prospective development teams, we collect them and we actually answer them all in writing online so that everyone, including the public, can see the conversation so that no prospective developer has an advantage over another one. So that's how we'll respond publicly to any questions that come up. So we intend to post those answers to those questions right before Christmas and give the teams another month to complete their proposals, asking them to turn those in mid-January, and then the evaluation panel will meet and make a recommendation to the general manager of the Public Utilities Commission around the top three top scoring teams to invite to participate in an RFP, which is really where the rubber will hit the road in terms of a proposal.
And why do we do the qualifications before the proposal?
We do the qualifications because entering this kind of process is really a lot of work, it's really a lot of time and a lot of money for development teams. And this allows more people, it kind of lowers the barriers to entry to allow more people to come to the table. And then it basically gives teams that are going to spend a lot of time and money and resources on coming up with proposals some assurances that they're a serious contender. So it lowers barriers to entry and hopefully will give us as big of a pool as possible. So in terms of how the CAC and your meetings coming up can interact with that. I think it's up to you all. We have a couple of months, which could potentially be an opportunity for some of the informational and coordination items that people raised. The CAC will really get engaged with the proposals once we have them through the RFP process. And we don't have a schedule for that, but kind of the main way to engage, in addition to having the CAC representative on the evaluation panel and having the parameters as a criteria for the evaluation, is that we're going to be asking the three proposers to come present their proposals and invite the public to give comments. And we envision that being both in person at a large meeting hosted hopefully by the CAC and on the link over a period of time. And then the evaluation panel will be asked to take those comments into account in their evaluation. But we're going to have quite a few months before that happens. So
one of the things that that we've had some preliminary conversation about is that once the two to three developers who get the green light to move ahead to do the full proposal, the intention would be that we as a CAC would be designing a process that's going to maximize community input into the final developers proposed designs. And so imagine, this is not set in stone at all, it's just an idea, but imagine having a large charrette where we've got a gymnasium and you've got the model set up around the room and people come in and they sign in. What neighborhood are they from? And they have a little card that's like a stop sign maybe. Red, yellow, green, what do they like about the project? What do they not like about it? And what are they neutral on? And that they would be able to give feedback on each of the three proposals so that we could then collect that community feedback to be able to make sure that we're so that we'll be able to make sure. Now, this is a straw man idea that I'm throwing out there as a way to say that our goal is that because we're going to have an opportunity to have really robust community input into the developers' ideas around how to manifest the 17-acre parcel that best meets the parameters and principles as we've laid out. So our work is going to be, a big part of our work is going to be kind of an alignment with what we were just talking about, is how do we make sure we get people coming out to see that? How do we make sure it's people that are impacted by it? How do we make sure that it's done in languages so everyone can understand and so that we do a really good job of that? So that's the intention, is to make sure that the process is going to have a lot of community input into it. And that part of what we need to do in the coming months is really be able to design that process in a way that's going to maximize community input, as well as make sure that we don't have a repeat of the dreaded, I dare even say it again, the DOT exercise that is still, that some people still, that was just a horrible process that people could put the dots wherever they wanted. So we really know where, what neighborhoods people were coming from, and what perspectives they have, and making sure that it was equal voices with each person having one voice. So that's a little bit about how we've been just kind of philosophically thinking about it at the top level. And so for the RFQ process, for the first piece, for the qualifications, it's really about finding the developers who are going to be the right people to be able to, that can actually have the capacity to do this kind of a project. So from where I sit, my job as the chair is about being able to I don't represent just Sunnyside, I represent the parameters that we've worked for the last 16 meetings to put together to make sure that whoever comes forward is going to be best reflected in the spirit of how we've talked about the process. And I think some of the things that we're going to be looking for, too, are things like their ability to work effectively with diverse communities and being able to be somebody who's creative as they think about putting these components together, because it's going to require a creative firm. It's not going to be somebody who's going to do a cookie-cutter model because of all of the different aspects of the principles. And I think that the thing that's complicated is that we push to have community representation on this selection committee, which has not happened before with planning department, as far as I, from conversations I've had with the planning team. So we thought it was cleanest that it would be the president, the chair of the CAC, and then the right representative from City College, because City College is going to be is such a huge piece of this as well. So so I'm not prepared to make to say right now, my, you know, I don't even know what it would mean to have you be a shadow, you know, or non-ex officio member, because I think this is uncharted territory in itself, that we have community participation at all. And, you know, my job is to represent the collective, my job is to represent the collective camp.
Can I speak? I think a big burden would be taken off of your back if you had the neighborhood that sits right in front of this development along there with you, that is Westwood Park. Non-voting member, but at least you would get the input. Otherwise, we would want to have some input into you, such as regular CAC meetings, before you make decisions on behalf of this entire committee. But I think having two neighborhoods and City College, entities that basically surround everything, on this evaluation committee would solve the problem of you wondering, geez, am I making the right decision for Westwood Park? Are they going to second guess me in a year or in 2 years without any input from the CAC? Now, the other alternative that I mentioned is meeting after meeting where the evaluation committee with the with you as a representative, you can come back to us and say, should I do it this way, should I do it that way? That is inferior, I think, to having another, the major neighborhood, Westwood Park, represented at least on a non-voting ex officio, and I will not say anything until I'm told to talk. You know, I think that's the best way to solve this problem, because we want to build a consensus. We don't want to have fights between Westwood Park and the rest of this group.
Well, okay, with all due respect, I am the at-large, one of the two at-large members. So my constituency is tens of thousands of people who need houses in the city. And to say that one neighborhood and another, or and the group that I represent, one is more important than the other, I think we're all equal. I think that each one of us on the committee has a constituency, and each one is important. And while I would like to be on the committee, and I would love to be a fly on the wall in those meetings, that's the reason I nominated Lisa to be our representative there, and I would like to keep it that way. I would like to have regular reports of what happens in the meetings. I'd like to know exactly what happened, and I'd like to have a chance for us as a committee to respond to what happens in those meetings. But that's my opinion.
Can I respond to that?
If that could be worked out, that might solve the problem. I gave two solutions. One solution is, Lisa, come back to us on a regular basis on the RFP. Look at this time. I don't know who devised this timeline, but the timeline is written questions by December, responses to questions by December, responses due January 18th. I mean, if she can come back to us and say, hey, we have this question in the RFQ, what do you think about it? That might solve the problem. With respect to the neighborhoods, your interests are well represented by the city, and other interests are well represented on the selection committee. There's like 7 or 9 people on this. Most of them are from the city. And I thank the city for trying to build a consensus among the neighborhoods. And I know Lisa would do a good job in trying to represent all of our interests, but it's a tough task. It's a tough task when you get an RFQ, is this right or not? You don't want to wait. The city has told us that the RFP process is going to be open to public comment. But by then, you only have 3. And maybe you should have taken this one over that one in the RFQ process. So I'm making a suggestion, and I think there's one of two ways. Is I don't know how, Lisa, you can keep coming back to us. Well, what about this? What about that? You need a sounding board, but you can't talk about it because of the Brown Act. And I've proposed a solution that's made in good faith to try to resolve this whole thing.
Why don't you have a reaction to that with John? John has an opinion about it.
I've already said that. I feel like there are other constituents that are not represented at all here.
and I thank John for standing up for them, and I'd like to think that my work with younger people, too, informs my understanding that they are left out. One thing that we might want to consider is childcare. You know, if we have childcare at one of the meetings on a Saturday, we would probably get more young families out here. But I know that I'm old, I have my house. I mean, I'm set. You know, it's gone way up in value. But I still care about young people, and I care about them being able to get housing in the city.
I think Lisa has done an incredible job in managing the oftentimes seemingly impossible, conflicting, opposing views that has been discussed and brought before, or rediscussed. And I think that, you know, I trust that she will do a great job. And I also, you know, I am one of those people who I rent in the city. I will probably not own my first home in San Francisco, so when I come across that bridge, I think that will be a dual decision on whether I stay in this city that I love. I love, and I've been a resident of the city for 10 years, and so when I do purchase my own home, that will be a dual decision on do I purchase this house, this property, or and leave San Francisco, or do I stay? I think that will be that will be my predicament in that decision. So inevitably, you might find me, of course, and I'm not really sympathetic to what John Winston has said, but that is the reality for my entire generation that live in this city. So my two cents.
So I'm actually gonna answer with I don't know. And I'm going to say I don't know, honestly. And the reason I'm saying I don't know is because I want to know more about exactly the evaluation process for the next phase. We've only talked about it at the highest level. And I think I need to understand exactly the requirements. We've talked about it in terms of the criteria matrix and just, at a 30,000-foot level. And I want to respect the decision that this group came to when we put this forward and laid it out. And I also want to respect, I want to very much respect what you've offered, especially as a new member, to be able to say that, you know, if there's something that's complex or difficult and having a partner or somebody else to be able to respond to take the burden off, I greatly appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that it is, Westwood Park is the number one impacted neighborhood by the project, so I take that very seriously. And I weigh that with my colleagues on my left of, that this is also it's for our community and it's for our collective community. So what I'd like to do is we will have a meeting in December. I'd like to come back to it and be able to come back to it with some more. I feel like I can't make a decision for myself. I can't register my opinion because I don't know exactly if it's going to be cut and dry because it's the qualifications of the developers and who's coming back. And if it's, you know, in my mind, the harder step is the longer term process, and that's the part that a lot of community engagement.
That's constructive.
I appreciate the fact that Westwood Park and Sunnyside are directly impacted, but the most impactful part to me is City College. And, you know, if we're going to have Westwood Park be part of the evaluation committee, then maybe the door should be open.
They are on. As the PUC is on the committee, City College is on the committee.
Need a mic, please.
The PUC is on the committee. City College is on the committee, and the chair of this committee is on the committee.
Okay. All right. So let's table this. Let's come back to it, and we will. I want to look at the Westwood Park people, and just I'm looking you in the eye to say that I'm completely open to figuring this out and doing it in a way that makes sense. I'm not going to look at you as well to say that, but you know. But,
I said that's very constructive.
Yeah. I just want to just make sure to say that because. Because I know that there's been concern that I may not be listening, and I just want to let you all know I'm very much listening. Hold on a second, I've got an appointment. We're going to go to general public comment now, okay? So last item on the agenda, and we've got public comment. Actually, I'm going to move ahead on the agenda to do one thing, just to save a little bit of time. One of the things that we've done, and Bridget will be involved with this, is we've Linda De Silva, who's running the master plan for City College, we've asked her to come to our meetings on a regular basis to be able to report what's happening with the master plan. And I hear she's a rock star and really knows her stuff, which is great. And that'll be also great because she's the representative for the she's the City College representative on the evaluation committee for this project. So that's really good news. And then the one other thing I wanted us to be thinking about is how do we do a better job of reaching out to make sure that each of us is like doing a good job of our web of who we're connected to. So for example, I was going to ask Christine, who fell ill tonight and isn't here, even though she's from Lake Wilmerdine, could she possibly be the representative that engages Reardon, Sunnyside, St. Finbar, and the area schools and really be the school voice? Because a lot of transportation issues deal with people transporting kids to and from school. So being able to up the ante around the school voice. And again, it also addresses the parents and, you know, and doing this job here and Saturday meetings and all that. So I just wanted to put that out there kind of at a philosophical level. When you think about the perspective that you represent, particularly as we're going to move into this next phase, how do we do our very best to make sure that our webs are as intricate and as vast as they can be to ensure that we're getting good representation so that we can say we've done our job representing the collective community. So that was going to be my last item that I was going to talk about, and so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to flip it and let us end on general comments. And Steph, do you guys have anything else to add? What was this?
So I just wanted to add, with regard to communication with City College and the Facilities Master Plan, Linda wanted us to mention that there will be an update item on the City College Facilities Master Plan at their Board of Trustees hearing this week on Thursday evening.
And can you post that on the website? Great. Okay. So now 2 minutes each, general comments. Thank you. And we're going to, just let you know, because we're going to be at time, when the bell rings at 2 minutes, or the sound, whatever it is, please stop, okay? Thank you.
Barry Bernstein, City College. Mr. Ahrens noted that the college is apparently thinking of building a performing arts education center. Yes, they promised that to the voters in 2001, 2005. That was one of the most popular parts of that bond measure. So we are obligated, as far as I can tell, to do that. There is a matter of unanswered questions. At least three people tonight mentioned that they had them. I think maybe you can have something like a spotlight area saying, these questions are answered, then the city team or anyone can try to propose answers to them. Then the people who pose the questions can see, was that question answered, or say what they didn't think wasn't answered. For instance, my department chair has asked many times and has never had an answer, how many properties are in San Francisco that are being taxed, taxes are paid, they're owned, but they're not occupied. You probably have access to that, but I don't know how to get an answer to that question. Mr. Mulbauer asked, how much low-cost housing does there have to be to justify privatizing publicly owned land? And I think that's an awfully good question. Remember, you are talking about privatizing publicly owned land. I want to bring up that something that AJ talked about, and I haven't heard it all tonight. Apparently, it's not in the draft report. The PUC's land use framework is ignored in that draft report. Why is that not part of the discussion? And yes, you mentioned Linda De Silva. That will probably change if she is involved, but Bridget being here is not necessarily representative of the administration.
My name is Rita Evans, and my comment has to do with Lisa's comment a few minutes ago that Westwood Park is the neighborhood that will be most heavily impacted by this development. I respectfully disagree.
Yeah.
Westwood Park is not going to bear the brunt of the traffic that is going to be generated by this development. Sunnyside will bear the brunt of the traffic and parking issues that are generated by this development. And I would like to have it noted for the record, Westwood Park is not the neighborhood most heavily impacted, although it may be the one in closest proximity.
I'd like to make some comments about the RFQ. The RFQ document, like Harry already brought up, does not bring up the fact that PUC as a land use framework policy. It needs to be included in that RFQ. Secondly, at the previous meeting, I had asked the CAC to break up the vote regarding satisfaction between the preamble and the development parameters. The reason that a preamble was needed to begin with was that the development parameters did not reflect what the community had wanted. It did not reflect the needs of City College adequately. It did not address the needs of the parking and transportation problems adequately. But what the RFQ does is point strictly to development parameters. And basically, the preamble is what the community wants is like, oh, that's nice to have, you can do it. Okay. Secondly, I'd like to address something that Robert and Rebecca brought up, and that's this idea of the public purpose. Is this use of land, according to the public land for housing policy, really the best public purpose? That has not really been examined. It's been just put out there by fiat. Hey, housing is the thing that has to be done. There was no real discussion. Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm gonna put on my my hat for the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association. My name's Chris Coghlan, I'm the vice president of that association. I can't remember your name, sir, but when you brought up the history of the reservoir, I'm shocked none of you contacted me. Because in this room, I have to believe that the only person that has more history, knowledge of the history of that reservoir is Rita Evans, okay? That walkway that goes along Reardon out to the PUC land, that walkway is there because of the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association and because of me. They had a curb and weren't even gonna have a walkway there. We got them to tear up the curb and the street and put in that walkway. As far as being, Westwood Park being most impacted, well, if you guys will agree to letting that traffic go into your neighborhood instead of just having a dead-end street, I'll be right on board with you. You're welcome to say you're going to be heavily impacted, but you're not. You're just going to be looking at it. All the egress and ingress is coming right out towards the Sunnyside. So Sunnyside is by far the most heavily impacted neighborhood that's going to be affected by this development. So I appreciate everybody's work that's being done, but trust me, the Sunnyside's the ones that's going to be bearing the brunt. And as far as Linda goes, Linda Da Silva, have you met with her yet? She's a wonderful woman, and she really is a rock star, as you put it. At least I think you're doing a great job, even though I do voice complaints. But keep up the good work, and thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Randolph from the Ingleside. First of all, thank you everybody for listening to us, especially to those of you who've been listening to people outside your constituency, because we're all here to communicate to you. Now, I have one concern about the RFQ process, which is, I was reading the law and it said that the CAC shall have no authority to execute the sovereign power of the city, including the power to select a developer. And I'm hoping that, and I'm wondering whether having a CAC representative on the RFQ process would would be in violation of that law. And but in the event that on to Michael Ahrens' comments, if Michael can be on the RFQ process just kind of a fly on the wall, I was wondering if you could open it to other members too of the public who would also, I'm sure, provide excellent feedback to the RFQ process. And finally, I'd like to question, or I'd like to ask about this process. What is the scope of the program? Because when I look at the public plans for housing program, it doesn't really explain, you know, what is the goal of that program and how is it measured, and how are the impacts and benefits to the immediate surroundings balanced against the citywide needs that the program is trying to address? Because you can't have, you know, you can't always have everything. And when we're trying to create compromises in the RFQ process, we should really try to give proper respect to both the immediate surroundings and to the needs of the city. Thank you.
Chris, you're going to be the last comment. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Chris Hansen. So I'm coming late to this, I apologize. As I understand it though, even though you guys would be advisory and not have any real say in the RFQ process, what we would have, as many of you as can be in that room, is the ability to see what was turned away. Otherwise, the rest of us are basically going to see three things. You know, we're going to see the finished product. And I would like to compare it to the Goff Street development at City College. We didn't see any of those. We didn't have any presentations by a larger group of applicants. We just saw the finished group that was presented. So I would say try to get as much information as you can, because there may be something that as you look back, you may see something that was missed, and not being in the room, you won't even know that something was missed. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm tired. So anyway, thank you.
Can I quickly?
Thanks, Chris, for your comments. I agree with you that, you know, we should be looking at this, but I do want to mention that 33 Goff, there was a panel of stakeholders at City College, and they were the ones who decided who the final three for the 33 Goff property. So there was input by the stakeholders of City College. It was the Academic Senate, it was the Classified Senate, it was faculty. Okay, well, that was before I was on the board, but this is what I know, because we got those RFQs. I don't want to keep taking time and arguing about it, but I did want to explain that there was a process.
And I'd also take from Chris's comment, the importance of transparency is really the bigger point. The transparency is really critical, it's really key. Okay, so with that, it's at 8:29 and 30 seconds. So thank you for the presentation tonight. And our next meeting is December. Is our next meeting? I think we have to have a December meeting because we're doing the work on the. We've got to come back to this, so it's. It'll be the 12th of December, okay? And then for everybody who's working on December 12th, we're hopefully back at City College, but we don't know. We'll have to check it out. Bill will let us know. Oh, please turn in your feedback to us. Oh, and the last thing is, since the majority of what we're going to be spending our time on is feedback to the document that's going to go to the supervisors, that's going to be the key thing you're going to need to talk to your constituents about, okay? Thank you.
Are you taking those?
Yes.
Great. Rebecca, I met him.
Thank you.
Okay.
I saw you.